This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I would like to start with you with a man who literally just walked into the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had people over. Once he walked in, he says, "Ya Rasulullah, O Prophet of Allah," and I want you to imagine the scene. People are surrounding the greatest man ever walked on earth, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and someone just walks in and says, "O Prophet of Allah, give me permission to commit zina." The man is clearly frustrated. The man clearly has desires. He's struggling. "Ya Rasulullah, please give me that, you know, permission. Allow me, make it halal for me to be able to go to some other woman, to whatever woman that I like, or anyone. Just give me that permission that I'm able to fulfill my desires outside of marriage." فَأَقْبَلَ الْقَوْمُ عَلَيْهِ Then the people, the Prophet ﷺ did not say anything yet. You want to imagine the scene. The people around the Prophet, they approach this man, فَزَجَرُوهُ وَقَالُوا مَهْمَهُ And they said, whoa, what are you talking about? And don't you have any shame? Close your mouth. What are you doing? The Prophet ﷺ told this young man, come, have a seat right here. Udnu, come close to me, have a seat. So this man comes and he sits right next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Taban, there's a lot that we can speak about the Prophet's wisdom alaihi wasallam and how he approached and so on and so forth. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is about to say something that is not easy. It's not easy for someone to say, but he wants to mention it to him, maybe because he saw good in him. Allah Ta'ala knows best. So he says two words to him, "Atuhibbuhu li ummik?" Would you want this permission? Would you want this zina to be given and happen to your own mother? It's very tough, and you don't want to even imagine that. Would you be okay if a guy, you know what, he starts to flirt with your mom, okay, and all what he wants out of her is just fulfilling his sexual pleasure? Would you be okay with that, for someone to do that to your own mom? And usually, if you guys, when I talk to someone else, you say, do you think someone's mom would appreciate that? That's where you would kind of push it away from the guy you're talking to. But the Prophet says, your own mom. And I want everyone to hear this, including myself. Would we want that to happen to our own moms? No. So that man says, "La wallah, no way, wallahi, no, I don't even imagine it, Ya Rasulullah, no way, la wallah." So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells him, "Walan nasu," and even the people, not just you, but the people in general, do not love this to happen to their own mom. So then he asked him another four sets about groups of people. Then number two, he says, "Afatuhibbuhu libnatik?" Would you be okay for this to happen to your own daughter? Would you be okay to a guy, you know, to approach your own daughter and then commit zina with her? Would you be okay for her to be undressed and stripped out of her own clothes and this happened? Would you be okay with that? So the man doesn't even want to imagine. He says, la wallah, Ya Rasulullah, no way, Ya Rasulullah. So then he tells him, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then know that other people do not love this to happen. They do not like this to happen to their own daughters. So you may be doing this, the meaning, to other people's daughters. Then he says, number three, "Afatuhibbuhu li'ukhtik?" Would you be okay for your sister to do that? Would you be okay for your sister to, for example, adding this, this addition is from me. Would you be okay for your sister to go through this? To be with someone in the car, away from people's eyes in the dark night, and do what she would possibly do of committing of zina? Would you be okay with that? He says, "La wallahi, Ya Rasulullah." He says, "Walan nas yuhibbunahu li akhawatihim," and the people do not want for the sister, because when you commit zina, it will have to be either someone's mom, someone's sister, someone's daughter. Then the Prophet ﷺ continues four and five. And he says, "Atuhibbuhu li'ammatik?" Would you be okay for this to happen to your paternal aunt, your mom's, your dad's sister? Would you be okay with that? He says, "La wallah, ja'alani Allahu fida'ak." I'll give up my mom and dad for you, Rasulullah. I'll give up my life for you, Rasulullah. No way. "Walan nas yuhibbunahu li'ammatihim." And people do not want this to happen to their own aunts from that father's side. Then he says the last one, "Khalatik." Would you be okay for your khala to do this? Then he says, "Ya Rasulullah, of course not. La wallah, ja'alani Allahu fida'ak." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the end, he says, know that people don't want this also for their khala. And anyone commits a sin, remembers this hadith, or approaches that sin, or passes that sin, remember this. You don't want what goes around comes around. You won't want this to happen to your own family. Then why do you accept on yourself to do it to other people's families? And that's a barrier to protect you from zina right off the bat. is to realize, would you want this to happen to your own family? La. So why do you do it to other people's families? Well, she's okay with it. I don't care if she's okay with it. Well, her father doesn't care. I don't care if her father doesn't care about it. Do you care about this happening to your own family? I'm talking to believers. My audience right now is people of La ilaha illallah. My audience right now are people of Muhammadur Rasulullah. I'm not talking to some people that say, well, what's the big deal about it? La, that's not my target audience. Al-Maghrib told me to give this session to people who say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So that's something to take note of. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does a beautiful move, brothers and sisters. Look what he does. He puts his hand onto this young man, okay? Alayhi salatu wa sallam. May Allah allow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to hug us in Jannah, to be around us in Jannah, to hold our hands and walk us together into Jannah. Ya Ameen, Ya Rab, Ameen. So the Prophet ﷺ وَضَعُ يَدَهُ عَلَيْهِ. He puts his hand over this young man and he says three things. اللهم اغفر ذنبه. Oh Allah, forgive his sins. وَطَهِّرْ قَلْبَهُ. And purify his heart. وَحَصِّنْ فَرْجَهُ. And protect and safeguard his private part into not falling into haram. The hadith narrator says, فَلَمْ يَكُنْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ الْفَتَى يَلْتَفِتُ إِلَى شَيْءٍ. After this dua and after this nasiha that man received, he never fell into that zina move. May Allah protect us, Amir Rabbil Alameen. That's something to truly appreciate. Brothers and sisters, you know, when it comes to the action of zina, and then some people may be watching, let's define zina a bit. What does actual zina that is being referred to here and the punishments and so on? It is when a man approaches a woman or a woman approaches a man. And part of that meaning is when a man does to a woman what is necessary to have children in such a way, as the Prophet ﷺ says in one other hadith, is when the man's private part is inside the private part of a woman that is can no longer be visible. As explicit as it sounds, as the Prophet ﷺ described in one other hadith of what zina constitutes. But this doesn't mean that we belittle the steps prior to zina. We do not belittle, you know, holding out of disrespect or out of sexual lust and so on with the other gender. It doesn't mean that we are belittling looking at the actual zina. It doesn't mean that we belittle listening to zina. It doesn't mean that we belittle talking about zina in a way of flirting and so on. La. But when we talk about the zina and the punishment, yes, it's about the peak. It's about that part. May Allah protect us, Amir Rabbil Alameen. And what do you know about that peak? And what do you know about the zina? May Allah protect us, Amir Rabbil Alameen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every time you hear that name, say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, إِذَا زَنَ الرَّجُلِ. When a man commits zina, or the woman commits zina, خَرَجَ مِنْهُ الْإِيمَانِ. Iman is stripped off that person. Iman is leaves the body of that person. Subhanallah. May Allah protect us. It's like, and you have to appreciate this hadith. The moment someone gets undressed or takes off a cloth here and there to perform the actual zina, they're not just stripping their clothes, but they're stripping their body from their iman. May Allah protect us and forgive us. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Kharaja minhu al-iman. Iman exits the body. Kana alayhi kadhulla. Then iman will be like a cloud outside the body. فَإِذَا انْقَطَعَ رَجَعَ إِلَيْهِ الْإِيمَانِ. Then when that man or that woman makes true tawbah, sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that iman that left may go back to the body. You know what this shows? People say, okay, how bad is it? How bad? It is so bad that it destroys one's iman. It's so bad that iman leaves the body. Iman doesn't want to, I got nothing to do with this action. That's how much it can scar our faith. May Allah protect us. But the doors of tawbah are there. Repentance is possible. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if this man stopped, if this man made tawbah, raja'a ilayhi al-iman, iman comes back to the individual. And then you hear about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And while we're saying this, you realize something about zina. It's only a matter of minutes. That's all. We sell the world sometimes and we sell the akhirah for a few minutes. May Allah protect us and grant us Jannah. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. And halal substitution. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time he had a dream. And we know that the dreams of the prophets, you know, these are ru'ya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he had a dream that he saw naked men and women with no clothes inside an oven. The oven was in a cone shape. The top is sealed, is locked. And these naked men and women are inside that oven. Is there fire? No, not yet. The Prophet ﷺ says, then the fire is ignited. Then they yell and they scream and they try to leave the oven, but the oven is in a cone closed shape. They cannot leave it. And then the fire gets turned off. And then all of a sudden the fire comes back on again. And they go through that torture and that punishment because of what they did to the society. Zina is not all so-and-so and so-and-so alone in a bedroom. La wallah, it's a lot bigger than this. When that sin takes place, Allah's anger and wrath takes place. And the more people that do it, the more Allah's anger can come about. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا ظَهَرَ الزِّنَا وَالْرِبَى فِي قَرْيَةٍ. When zina becomes, you know, everywhere, and riba becomes everywhere, خلاص, it's almost common. فَقَدْ أَحَلُّوا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ. Then it has become an obligation. أَوْجَبُ. It's almost, خلاص, it's a done deal. Allah's punishment will come to the city. What were the two things? Zina and riba. May Allah protect us, may Rabbil Alameen. So don't say, oh, just me. No, it's my life, my body, which I have this nonsense. La, this body is an amana, a trust Allah gave you and gave me that we have to fulfill. May Allah protect us and grant us strength. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Then you hear, brothers and sisters, just to show you to what level we're talking about here. A man went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah, ayyu dhanbi akbar. What is one of the greatest and the worst of sins? So he says, أن تدعو لله ندا وهو خلقك. When you associate someone with Allah while it was Allah who created you, to do shirk, the worst thing ever, as many of you perhaps know, if not all of you. Then that sahabi, radiallahu anhu, he says, ثم أي, then what comes next? He says, ثم أن تقتل ولدك أن يطعم معك. You kill your own son or daughter. Why? Because you fear that you will not financially be able to take care of them. You fear that there will be a financial burden on you. So you're like, you know what? Let me just kill that baby and so on and get rid of him. Murder. So Allah puts, the Prophet said, shirk. Murder. Ready for number three? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, thumma ay, then what comes next? Number three, an tuzaniya bihalila tijarik. For a man, for you to commit zina with the wife of your neighbor. That's how zina is classified. We talk about shirk, we talk about murder, and we talk about zina, brothers and sisters. And you know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he mentioned this, there's an ayah that confirms that. Listen to the ayat. This is from Surah Al-Furqan. Allah says, "A'udhu billahi minash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, walladhina la yad'una ma'allahi ilahan akhar." This is that shirk. ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق. And kill an innocent soul that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram to kill unless there was justification. So murder. ولا يزنون. And those who commit zina. What happens? What happens if someone does that? ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما. Whoever does that will face severe, severe punishment. How much? يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The punishment will be multiplied. How bad is Jahannam already? How bad is Yawm al-Qiyamah already for the disbelievers or the people of major sins of such sort? It's so bad, Allah says, يُضَاعَفْ, double. Allahu Akbar. يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا. And they will remain in Jahannam humiliated. May Allah protect us. Allah put, once again, shirk, murder, and the committing of zina. How bad is murder? Do you not destroy a whole family? Do you not, just, oh, it's only one soul? No, it's not one soul, it's families. And when someone commits a zina, no, it's you as an individual, you're hurt. You as an individual, your modesty is scratched. You as an individual will struggle to get married to a decent, righteous person. You as an individual have caused so much harm to your family. You as an individual have caused so much harm to your city, to your masjid, to your society. The repercussions are major. But Allah says after that, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Except the ones who repent back to Allah. If you did shirk, if you did zina, and you're still alive, yallah, rush back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Run back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah says, except those who repent and do righteous deeds. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّنُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. These are the people Allah will substitute their sins, their sayyat, into good deeds. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving, the most merciful. Brothers and sisters, yes, some people may say, wallahi, it's happening. It's very often, it's very frequent that this happens. But realize that when you protect yourself from it, Allah will protect you and honor you. Allah will protect you and honor you. And yes, the ability for someone to commit zina today has never been easier, perhaps, Allah knows best, in the history of humanity. May Allah make it hard and protect us all, Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Make it hard for our brothers and sisters and ourselves to ever fall into this sin, Ameen Rabbil Alameen. But let me give you some glad tidings. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave the example, this is a woman, a wonderful woman. And the Prophet says, وَكَانَتْ مِنْ أَحْسَنِ النَّاسِ. She was the one of the most beautiful women Allah has ever created. Allahumma barik. But she, though she was beautiful, she was a woman of modesty. Because subhanAllah, someone needs to realize, when someone is given so much wealth, it's not so easy they don't do haram with it. When someone is given so much power, it's not easy for them not to abuse their power. When someone is given so much fame, it's not so easy for them to make their fame only in good causes. And similarly, when someone is given so much good looks, it's not easy for them to remain modest and have chastity. It's a challenge. They have to work on it because they know they can do wonders. This wonderful lady, Sarah, radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased by her. She was one of the most good-looking women Allah ever created. Yet, she never used her looks to seduce, to hurt, and to ruin other men's lives. She never did. Rather, she was modest. She safeguarded her body. She protected herself. So much so, brothers and sisters, and you see how with the fruits of that. One time, a Pharaoh at her time, when he heard about Sarah walking into his city, he had the soldiers pick up Sarah, literally pretty much kidnapping Sarah and taking her to Fir'aun of that time. So the hadith says, فَلَمْ يَتَمَالَكْ. That Pharaoh, that loser, when he saw Sarah, he could not control himself. He couldn't even have a conversation. She was too good looking for him to have an introduction. That's how how good looking she was, and that's how filthy he was. So then when he came to approach her, Sarah radiallahu anha, she will go back to Allah with a dua. What will she say? What will she intercede in? She said three things. Allahumma, in kuntu amantu bika wa bi rasulik. Oh Allah, if I was a true believer in you and in your prophet. That's one. Wa ahsantu farji illa ala zawji. And I have not made a single man who's not supposed to touch me, touch me. If I did that, ya Allah, for your sake, and I safeguarded myself, فَلَا تُصَلِّتْ عَلَيَّ هَذَا الْكَافِرِ. Then I beg you, ya Allah, don't let this kafir touch me. So right when she said that Pharaoh, the soldiers he has, all that power diminished. Allah made that man go through some severe sort of seizure. His hands were going right and left, and his legs as if he's going mad and so on. So then he begged her to please give me a chance. I promise I'll not do this again. Long story short, she is saved and she returns back to her family. But what was the thing that saved her on that day? It was her modesty and chastity. So you have to realize that. So may Allah forgive us for any shortcomings. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. And then you have this beautiful hadith of the Prophet ﷺ on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. We give you dunya, we give you akhirah. Wallahi, never do you leave the haram. Never do you leave the haram, except that Allah will give you something something equivalent to it. La, something better than what you left in halal. You left that which is the haram, Allah will give you something, substitution that is better than what you left. You see in dunya of protection and in akhirah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, seven are under the shade of Allah when there's no shade except his shade. One of the seven, rajulun, a man whom a woman comes and she seeks to have sexual intimacy or in relationship with him. And he says, no, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this also applies to the girl, inshallah, when a man tries to flirt and that's his target to have this relationship. And she says, no, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you hear these things of reward, you hear this of punishment, you realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want nothing but the best for you, brothers and sisters. And then the question comes, okay, brother, how do we protect ourselves from this? How do we do what's necessary for us not to fall into zina. There's multiple things that obviously that can be married. That can be mentioned. I'll share with you three. Number one, it slipped my tongue, is marriage. Of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised the brothers and sisters to get married whenever that is possible. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant everyone who is watching me right now, every single brother and sister, may Allah grant you a righteous spouse. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. And don't be shy in the sense that, the topic and so on. La, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told the Sahaba that you will get rewarded for having this sexual relationship with your wife. Allah will reward you with hasanat, good deeds. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, we get rewarded for fulfilling our sexual desires with our wives. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you did it outside of marriage, would you not be held accountable? Would you not accumulate sins? As a result, you're doing it in the halal, Allah will give you wonderful amount of reward and hasanat. Allahu Akbar. So marriage. Tayyib akhi, I cannot then know whether it's marriage or non-marriage. This is something you have to do regardless. Lowering the gaze. Looking away from the haram. This is a very critical aspect, whether you are married or not married. Don't think marriage is, 100% solution from people falling into zina. La wallah, perhaps the devil will attack you more than a single man, because your punishment, O married man, married woman, is far greater than the one who's single. But pay attention, those who are single, doesn't belittle the sin. May Allah protect us, may Rabbil Alameen. Lowering the gaze, that's step two of three. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will share with you this wonderful and a very amazing point he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he noticed. It was in Hajj. It was when? It was in Hajj. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw his relative cousin Al-Fadl ibn Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu, him and his father, may Allah be pleased by both of them. Al-Fadl ibn Al-Abbas, he was around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when a young woman came to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a question. She came, she has a question about Hajj or so. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered the question to that sister, he noticed Al-Fadl radiallahu anhu, he was looking at that girl. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. He gently tilted the neck of Al-Fadl. So if Al-Fadl is staring at this girl, he gently moved his neck and to look away. See how important it is to move your eyes away from the haram. Like, bro, I'm in Hajj. I'm not going to commit zina in Hajj. Don't say stuff like that. Do what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised you, because there are steps. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Don't approach, don't come close to zina. Allah didn't say explicitly, don't commit zina in this ayah. Don't even take the steps that lead to zina. How many people committed zina? Muslims and non-Muslims, when it was never planned. It was just a step after the other, step after the other. May Allah protect us. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grabbed the neck of Al-Fadl ibn Abbas and gently tilted it away from looking at that woman. So guess who comes? The father of Al-Fadl, Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu, and the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why did you tilt the neck of your cousin like that? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the following. Ready? Ready? He says, رَأَيْتُ شَابًا وَشَابًا. I saw a young man and a young woman. فَلَمْ آمَنِ الشَّيْطَانَ عَلَيْهِمَا. And I do not trust the devil towards them. The Prophet ﷺ sees that young men and women, shaitan tries to bank on them, tries to destroy them through this sexual desire avenue. And he goes step by step with them. He says, I don't trust the devil. He didn't say, I don't trust them. La. He said, I'm concerned of the damage that the shaitan may cause to the people. Allahu Akbar. And especially to young men and women. And here, the Prophet ﷺ says about both of them. He didn't say about only the guy. He didn't say فَلَمْ آمِنِ الشَّيْطَانَ عَلَيْهِ on the man. No, he says from both of them. I don't want that, because shaitan may attack. And how is that, Ya Rasulullah? Through looking. So we have to take this serious, inshallah, to look away as much as we possibly can. May Allah grant us strength. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, أَلَا لَا يَخْلُوَنَّ. It's a command. It's a clear cut, يعني order. And never is a man and a woman alone. إِلَّا كَانَ ثَارِثُهُمَ الشَّيْطَانِ, except that the devil was the third. So I advise you, do not say, أخي, you know what, it's just an appointment. People think, oh, you're crazy for saying that. Nothing's going to happen, me and the doctor. Ya akhi, don't. This is, you're right and you're haq. It's okay. You go to the doctor, ask respectfully. You know what? It's someone of the opposite gender, a sister, a guy, a doctor comes in, a male. Ask, can we have the door open, please? A little bit. Just someone can overhear the conversation, for example, or just for my sake of comfort. Do whatever is necessary. Okay, brother, I can't do that. There's a serious privacy matter. Okay, no problem. Bring someone with you. There has to be one person in your life that you trust, inshallah, that can come along and not be in a closed room like that, subhanAllah. Just for your own safety. May Allah protect you, Amir Rabbil Alameen. That's for the girls and for the boys. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, never is a man and a woman alone except the devil is the third. He will do whatever he can possibly do to go as far as he possibly can in the committing of the haram. May Allah protect us. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And remember the warning of the Prophet. Do you remember or no? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, never does immodesty and the lack of chastity spreads in a society except that plagues and diseases, pain and sicknesses that were never known before will spread among them. May Allah protect us. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. So marriage definitely is up there. Lowering the gaze, whether you're married or single, regardless. Number three and last, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised, fasting. Rasulullah sallam says, if someone is unable to get married, then be sure to fast. Something to tone down that desire to your best of ability. May Allah protect us and safeguard all of us, Amir Rabbil Alameen, from zina, the zina of the hands, the zina of the legs, which is walking to the location and so on, the zina of the eyes, Amir Rabbil Alameen, of course, the zina of the private parts. May Allah protect us. The door of forgiveness is open. This is not a message to make you hopeless, but a message for you and I to wake up and be cautious and be aware that shaitan will never let go of us until we fulfill that sin. And once we do, he will go to the next sin of maybe murder or the next sin of shirk. May Allah protect us. Ameen Rabbil Alameen.